You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Well, before Linda reads our passage, I hope you'd be able to turn to Galatians and join me in reading along. This is a really interesting insight into the Apostle Paul. I think we've talked about before how he didn't write any of this down. He had a scribe that wrote it down, and he was probably pacing back and forth in a huff, dictating it. We know that because in one passage, he's ranting about something, and then the next sentence is, "See with what large letters I write with my own hand." So you can see that he probably grabbed the pen away from the scribe and roar, "That's how mad I am about this. I'm going to write it out myself." Well, Galatians is a major rant. And if you ever want some insight into some of the dynamics of the way the early church was and how Peter and Paul, we all have this lily kind of lily white vision of Peter and Paul all getting together. No, they had completely different ways of going about it from the very beginning. It makes me feel really good about the wall that the United Methodist Church is hurtling towards, because it's like it's just the same. I mean, we continue to do this because we have different ways of approaching what it means to be followers of Jesus. This is one of my favorite things because I had a friend who used to sign letters. So you might have friends like that that says, love whoever. And then they'll put a little scripture passage there. And this friend would put Galatians 5:12. And I'm like, oh, that must be some super sacred kind of thing, so I had to look it up. Well, Paul in 5:12 says, "I hope the people that disagree with me castrate themselves." And I thought, wow, that's nice. But that just gives you kind of a little hint because, and one of those people was Peter, by the way, right? Because Peter was with what was called the Judaizers. They said you had to be Jewish before you could be Christian. And Paul was saying, no, you just can be Christian. You don't have to undergo Jewish ritual. You don't have to follow kosher and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so you kind of got to get in this mindset. So Linda, if you can do a little rant-ish here, this is one of, where he's kind of saying, all right, the theme for our Sierra Service Project this week was, right, love courageously. You have it on your program as well. And it was great. We found all kinds of scripture passages that talked about loving courageously. And it's not just a mamby-pamby kind of kumbaya kind of love. It's the love that takes courage. And so let's listen to this passage and we'll talk a little bit about it before we have our team come up.
"For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, for these words of wisdom that come to us from so early in our collective experience as followers of Jesus, we're grateful. May we hear them with fresh ears and fresh spirits, so that as we go from this place, none of us can go unchanged. We gather as followers of Jesus. Amen. I love this passage, mainly because it's Paul coming around to actually teach a little bit of what Jesus actually taught. Because what is lost on a lot of people is that Paul wrote all of his epistles before the Gospels were written. People don't think about this because Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John come first. And people say, well, of course, those were the earliest Gospels. No, they were written 10, 20, even 30 years after Paul was writing. And one of the things you recognize when you start reading Paul is that he doesn't mention a lot about Jesus' teachings. He doesn't talk a lot about what Jesus asked us to do. He had one message, and it was Christ crucified, and he really worked on that. And all the rest was logistics on how to get as many Gentiles into the mix as possible. And so it's a really interesting glimpse into the early church. And if you find that Paul is quoting something that Jesus also quoted, it's a pretty good bet that this was important to the early church, one of the core values. And what's even better is that what he quotes is not from Jesus, it is from Hebrew Scripture, right? Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And it's to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what Paul is saying too. Some of you heard me talk about this too. Rabbi Rami, who is one of my role models in my why I want to be a rabbi kind of. Rami wants Christians to give this passage what it's due. Because as he says, Christians tend to Oprah-fy this passage, right? Do you get what I'm saying here? Make it all sweet. And he says that Christians will often misquote this passage, and they'll say that we are supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's not what it says. And what that does is it gives people a cop-out, an excuse to say, well, you know, I'm not really loving myself right now, so I don't have the energy to love somebody else, right? But really, when I get around to loving myself, which should be in about 27 years, I'll have the energy, I'll have the integrity to love my neighbor, right? And they make it sound so virtuous. But that's not what it says. In fact, the Hebrew is very clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means your neighbor is an extension of you. And how many of us, if we were hungry, would say, I'm not going to feed me, right? Or if I'm in jail, I'm not going to visit me. Or if we need a glass of water, I'm not going to bring a cool drink to me. The way we would want ourselves to be treated is the way we treat our neighbor. And that hardly even begins to get at what the Hebrew actually means. It actually, do you get that? We are interconnected. And so whenever we find ourselves in the presence of another human being, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what faith tradition, no matter what, anything, they are an extension of us. And that is a huge difference from the way a lot of us have been raised up. So as we went through this last week at Salie, I was again amazed at the passion and the skill and the training of the young adult staff that was in charge of everybody for the whole week. The spiritual director, Adam, was fantastic, and he took us through every evening another aspect of loving courageously. One of the things that really I will remember is he talked about, you know what, one aspect of loving courageously is actually listening to the person that you're talking with. Being quiet long enough to listen without thinking about the response you're about to give to really get them, right? This is a good piece of advice for any of you who are on Facebook. Just saying. Listen to people. Even listening can be a courageous act of love. One of the things that they had us do was take off our shoes and get with one other person and exchange our shoes and actually wear the other person's shoes, which was kind of fun when, you know, an adult was changing shoes with a middle schooler, right? But we had to sit for a while, and the one thing they asked us to do was share with one another about a person who had inspired us or influenced us. Didn't need to be a religious person, didn't need to be a famous person. And oh my gosh, the person that I was with, I learned so much, and I've got work to do to find out more about this person. And so through the week, it was a marvelous kind of drip, drip, drip of how we can love courageously in all sorts of different ways. And I just want to say that Sierra Service Project not only helps the people that we're serving in various communities, and let me just tell you here, SSP is in multiple communities across the West Coast, and so they're in Spokane this summer, Portland, Chiloquin, Smith River, Sacramento, San Diego, and Salie. Our own Bruce Ferguson is at Smith River, and I know, he is going to just have a life-changing experience. So, again, I want to thank all of you through United Methodist Men who helped support Bruce in doing what he's doing. I want to ask the team to come up, and if you all want to just hang out here on the steps for a little bit, we're going to show some slides, and bring your microphone with you, Linda, so that you can share that with people. Who else is here? Is Lucas not here? Marlo already flew off to meet her family in Montana, so go ahead and have a seat. Excellent. So Marlo Southam was with us, and Lucas Elwood was with us as well. And wherever Nat is. Oh, here he comes. Okay, great. So I'm going to ask you guys to say a little bit about stuff that comes up on the slide, so just pass the microphone around, and we should be good. So let's hear it for SSP 2018. Woo! Okay, so here we are. We left last Sunday morning at, what time did we leave? 7? 8? Yeah, something like that. And just wanted to show you, I don't know if you can see how clearly here, here's Dee Dee giving us instructions, and then you can see how happy the parents and the spouses are that we're all leaving for a week, and they get time off. Our first stop was in Holbrook, Arizona. Again, our connectional system at work. We called the pastor at Holbrook, who set us up with Betty and, was it Sheila?
Sylvia.
Sylvia. Betty and Sylvia, who had the whole fellowship room ready for us. They had fruit and water and coffee ready for us, and that's where we could take our bathroom break and then make our next push. But, you know, it's so much fun to interact with these other churches as we've been making our way across the country. All of them are unique, and it's really fun. So we arrive, and on the right you see the team of young adult leaders that are walking us through some of the policies and things like that to keep everybody safe. On the left you can see an example of one of the hogans that is a dorm room. They have about 8 or 10 of these on the campus of Diné College. Diné in Navajo means the people, and this is a college that is run by the Navajo Nation, and they let us use one of their two of their dorm rooms for free for the summer because we do a lot of work in the community. And it's shaped like a hogan, eight-sided, and on the inside, it's also the rooms are kind of wedge-shaped. And there's a community gathering space in the center where we do all our gathering. Here's the team. You can kind of see inside the hogan. It's really big. And there are my girls. Oh, it's so much fun. So the first day, we have training to make sure that nobody is going to go home with fewer digits than they arrived with. And the kids get to learn to properly use drills and chop saws and circular saws, and a lot of these kids have never touched a power tool before. But by the end of the day, they have all of the insights into how to do that safely. Even Sally Lloyd learned how to use a chop saw. Look at that. Woo! Or that's a circular saw, sorry. The Felton there is the one with the chop saw whose hat people made fun of the first day But by the end of the week, everybody wanted that hat because it was 95 degrees on a couple of days. So here we are learning the ropes here. And, you know, why did we take two vans, right? When we only had 10 people, we took two 12-passenger vans. Because we take the back seat out of each of them, and then there's room for a team of six. And that's kind of what the back of the vans look like when we leave in the morning with all of our tools and all of our... I mean, every team has any tool that is going to be necessary for that particular project. Here are a couple of projects. David James, guess what we worked on?
Ramps,
a lot of ramps. The one on the bottom left and the one on the right is the project that Nat and I were on. And we actually had to take down some of the poles that the last week had put in. So we had to take out... How much did those concrete blobs weigh?
At least 200.
Yeah, and it was amazing to get those out. But they decided that the way the slope was there, that we were going to reorient, there wasn't going to be a landing and then a back the other direction. So anyway, we're always flexible. Linda, do you want to tell something about your friend there?
Yeah, this was the woman I'm sitting with is named Mabel, and we were working on her home. It was Albert and Mabel, and I forget what they were doing. What house? Was it the roof, I think?
It was the drywall.
Oh, that was the drywall house. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I wasn't on this project, but on Wednesday we went to the chapter house and had a barbecue. Mabel and I started talking, and one of our teams was putting in drywall in her hogan. Last week's group had put in insulation. This week they were doing drywall, and towards the end of the week, I guess, our drywall team got all the walls and the ceiling finished. And this woman was so excited that her hogan was going to have drywall, and one of the construction coordinators asked her if she had already picked out her paint color. She goes, "Oh, no, I haven't done that." But you could see the look in her face. She was so excited that she was going to have a new look to her home.
So here we are. Oh, Nat, here's your chance. You want to show off how to do that? One of the guys on our team, Jack, on the right, spent a summer working on a landscaping team where he was the only Anglo with all these Mexican workers. And he said he learned more curse words in Mexican, in Spanish, than anything. But the good thing he took away from it was how to do a balaclava out of a T-shirt. And you might want to be doing this in case you are working around the yard here in Fountain Hills. It won't bring any attention to you, I don't think. But you just use a standard T-shirt, and you put it like this. Covers your neck and your head, and there we have it coming up here.
Oops.
Oh, well, you get the idea.
We'll get this right.
All right, we're going to keep going while you work on that, okay? All right, and don't forget to tie, you know, when you're doing this, tie the shirt sleeves behind your head. Now, you can't say you never learned anything at church, right? Okay. So here is working on another ramp. Marlo and Maddie were on that team with Jack. You want to say a few words?
I liked our project. I got really excited because I was like, we don't have to paint, because I've done painting every year. But then it turns out we had to stain a bunch of wood, and it was messy, really messy.
Yeah, and this...
That's not intimidating. When they put on the reflective sunglasses underneath that, then it really becomes intimidating. Yeah, there you go. All right. I love the praise well with others on the top, though. That's great. But it was the hottest week that they've had this summer. So it was, and when you're at 7,200 feet where we were, you were a lot closer to the sun. So it was hot. You want to say something about this? Here on the left is the center of Dene College, where you'll see goats grazing and sheep.
Yeah.
And on the right is, I think, at Maddie's site, where the woman had goats and sheep.
So at our site, we were pretty much out in the middle of nowhere. And like, there is this old lady who lived there. And every afternoon, she would come out to like help herd the sheep into like a pasture or something. And then she would like pick up a sheep and carry it. And she was like really old.
She was 85.
Like 85. And she was like picking up a sheep and like, it was just the funniest thing.
But there was lots of free grazers. So you know, I'm filling up at the gas station and all of a sudden out of the corner of my eye, oh, here's a herd of goats walking through the middle of the gas station. So, hey, so tell us a little bit about what's going on there, you guys. This is Eliana's team and Olivia's team. They are on a roof.
So we were working on Margaret's roof. That was fun. Try not to fall off the whole time. That was a lot of work because there was tar. And you should have seen my jeans after. I ripped them. So that was fun.
What were the layers, Eliana? You guys did like 3 or 4 layers?
Yeah, so first we laid down an underlayment, and then we put a metal strip on the side of the roof, and there's this water and ice shield that was like a big sticker, and we messed up once, and it was like it all stuck together, and we had to cut another one. And then we laid down the concrete asphalt roofing, which is like little pebbles. So that was fun.
And you're helping with the floor in this one with the concrete?
Oh. And one day we were finished with all of our work that we had to do that day. So we went over to the concrete site where we were mixing and pouring concrete.
Yeah, we get a lot of experience. And of course, this was the puppy that Maddie wanted to give me for my birthday. And a little kitten there, I don't know if you can see with Olivia. Lots of animals everywhere. Here we are back again. We would meet every day out in the circle in the center to do program and sing songs. Here's one of the songs we sang. So we sung a lot of great songs. Wednesday, we went over to work with Danae, Water Users Project. Heard a little bit about that project. My team, I don't have pictures yet from the rest of your counselors, but my team was moving PVC water pipes from one field to another. They're trying to reclaim land that had been farmland up until about 30 years ago, but the original farmers, that generation died off and their kids didn't want to take it up. And so the land went fallow. So now they're trying to, this is a proof of concept project where they're trying to grow enough food there to help benefit the whole community. And we had a flatbed truck and we loaded, I don't know how many of those pipes. We had to move 8-inch pipes from one place to another and 10-inch pipes to another and lay them out. So it was quite an education. This gives you an idea of some of the areas that we were in. There's Lucas passing out songbooks. It was Marlo's birthday on Wednesday, so she got a bunch of stuff. On the right is one of our speakers, Dr. Silver Nez Perry. Nez Perry. PhD, Navajo professor, really was impressive. He spoke to the kids about Navajo culture. And on the left is Diedrich. I couldn't believe all the Navajos I met, whose names were Diedrich and Alvin and Fred and Emerson. So, but Diedrich came over to check us out and wondering what was going on. He'd heard that there were Methodists over here, and he wanted to get an explanation of what do Methodists believe. And he started out, he was really stealthy, you know. Well, by the end of the half an hour conversation, he had admitted that he is one of the lay leaders at the Baptist church down the street, you know. And, you know, it was really a great conversation where we talked and agreed to disagree on some things, but it was really swell. And this is why they were worried about us, because they had people like this. Here's Nat pointing out a purlin. Am I the only one who had never heard of a purlin before? But that's what part of our ramp project. Lots of staining, as Maddie mentioned. We had to dig out post hole for another one. And again, they taught us how to mix concrete. How'd you do on the concrete, Eliana? Did you mix it?
Yes.
Tell us about it. How do you do it?
So you grab the bag out of the stack of concrete.
60-pound bag.
Yeah. And
Eliana dropped it once, and she almost dropped, like, made a whole table fall with all our water.
It was 60 pounds. And the reason I dropped it is because it was on the ground, and then I picked it up. And then I tripped over the tarp that was over the concrete. And then I tripped over the sawhorse, which was the table. And I dropped the bag almost on my foot. And then I picked it up again and put it in the wheelbarrow.
Yay!
60 pounds.
And the nearest urgent care is in Gallup, New Mexico.
So how did you mix it? Tell them how you mixed it.
We made a hole in the bag, and then we poured it in. And then we added a bunch of water. And there wasn't a hose at the site, so we had to haul it in with, like, 5-gallon buckets of, like, the Gatorade things. And we had to just pour a bunch of water in it, and we had to mix it with these hose and, like, a shovel. And one of the shovels broke, so we had to use the stick of the shovel.
All right.
It looked like we were stirring a cauldron.
So here's an example of, like, on the right is one of the rooms. There are about 4 or 5 people per room on blow-up mattresses and all. And then in the center is Adam leading one of our evening programs. Here's the whole group. We were the only group from Arizona, right, I think?
Yeah.
Everybody else was from California. So we had it easy this year as far as transportation, like we had a 5-6-hour drive. But a lot of people came so far from the Stockton area or from L.A. that they left on Saturday and overnighted in Flagstaff and then made the rest of the trip. So it was a great trip. It was really fun. We stopped on our way out at Canyon de Chelly, and I just want... Oh, there is the always sphinx-like Lucas there on the side of Canyon de Chelly. And I just want to say a huge thank you to these two women who went with our kids this week. Amazing. Linda or Sally, since we don't have your videotape comments, can you just say a brief 30 seconds on what you're taking away from this about SSP or your experience?
I was really stressed about going. I just, like, almost sick to my stomach. I thought, okay, I don't think my knees are going to make it. I'm not sure there are going to be enough bathrooms. And I'm not sure how well I can do with a bunch of kids. But by Tuesday... Even though we had one bathroom for 12 of us, I realized it was all good, and I made it. And it was a real growth experience for me. It was wonderful to see all of our kids, how much they learned and contributed, and also to see what a great organization SSP is. And in addition, thank you to David for being one of the other great adult leaders who was with us.
Like Sally, I had the same fears. I signed up last year thinking, when I was in my 30s, I did this. I did it for 4 years with a church back in Illinois. And I thought, no problem. Sunday when we were getting in the vans, I'm thinking, what am I doing? I don't have kids. I don't have grandkids. I don't have construction background. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to go. And when we got there and I realized the theme was love courageously, I said, you know, I can do this. I can give what I can give, and I'll be guided by the rest. And thank goodness for Sally as well and these wonderful young women. There were 6 of us. Our Sally and I.
They had the girl van.
We had a girl van, and we also had a girl room, and we had a great time, and the programming was fabulous. And I would say if you have an opportunity to participate, you know, I was one of the, Sally and I were some of the oldest counselors, but as we got started and realized that if you are physically able, this is a fabulous growth experience for ourselves and to help mentor and watch these young people develop as young adults and as leaders. And again, thank you to David. And if you aren't able to do it physically, by all means, put in your dollars, because it's really a fabulous opportunity. And I hate to say it, but I may go next year. So.
Uh-oh, you're on tape.
I know, I am.
Hey, and this is the sure sign that we've returned to civilization. It was our Starbucks stop in Payson. So thanks again to everybody who participated, and let's hear it again for our team. The team will be lurking around afterwards if you have any questions to ask them or if you need to hire them to work on your house.
Can I make one more thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Just one other thing I wanted to say is we're there for a week. No news, no phones. I mean, we adults had our phones for security, but I can't tell you how wonderful it was to be away from the news cycles, to be out in nature, to be with people who don't have televisions and who are, it's a real poverty-stricken area, but to see the joy in their faces and the joy in our kids' faces without electronics and without news.
And the joy on my face having come back without a dog.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.